بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's slave and messenger. We continue the explanation of Surah Al-Hujurat. We have reached verse 13. قال الله تعالى يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر أو أنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم. O mankind, we have created you from a male and a female and made you into nations and tribes that you may know one another. Verily, the most honorable of you with Allah is that believer who has a taqwa. And Allah, verily, Allah is all-knowing, all-aware. Here, the address is to mankind. And so it is general. Yet, in the beginning of the surah, Allah addressed the believers. Now, the reason is because this address in this verse is directed at all mankind. Why? Because with mankind, exists the pride concerning lineage. So Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O who you believe. Therefore, the address, O you mankind, the address is for the believers and for the unbelievers, the righteous and the wicked. إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى. We have created you from male and female. One meaning is the male meaning Adam, and the female meaning Hawa. This is what is famous with the scholars of tafsir. Some of them, however, went to the meaning that what is intended here by a dhakar, male and female, meaning the kind. Meaning the offspring of Adam were created from this kind, male and female. And in this verse there is evidence that the man is formed from his mother and his father. Meaning created comes to exist from the mother and the father. And this does not oppose the saying of Allah in Surah At-Tariq, Surah 86, verses 5-7. In Allah saying, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّ خُلِقْ خُلِقَ مِنْ مَاءٍ دَافِقْ يَخْرُجُ مِنْ بَيْنِ الصُّلْبِ وَالتَّرَائِبِ. So let man see from what he is created. He is created from a water gushing forth, proceeding from between the backbone and the ribs. So if we say that what is meant by the backbone is the backbone of the man, and the ribs, meaning the ribs of the woman, then there is no problem. And if we say by the preponderating opinion, however, that the salb refers the salb wat tara'ib, the backbone and the ribs, are attributes referring to the man, meaning the water gushing, this is the water of the man. As to the woman, her water is not gushing. The water of the woman is not gushing. So therefore, in this case, man will be created from the water of the man will be created from the water of the male man. But however, the water of the male man is not sufficient. Therefore, it must get connected with the egg secreted by the mothers. So therefore, in this case, there will be unification of the two parts, this with this, mixing of this and this. So therefore, in this case, the person will be created from the two together, meaning from his father and from his mother. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلٍ. شُعُوبًا, the shu'ub, the nations, are the roots of the tribes. The nations are the, this is the term shu'ub. The nations are the roots of the tribes. And the tribes are lesser than the nation. So for example, if we say, Banu Tamim, they are considered a nation. Now the branches from Bani Tamim, who branch from this root, are called قبائل, tribes. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلًا. We made you into nations and tribes. Is the wisdom here from this making is for people to have pride one over the other? So this man says, for example, I am from the tribe of Quraysh, and the other person saying, oh, I am from such and such tribe. No, this is not what is intended. What is intended is to get to know one another. Get to know one another. That people get to know one another. Because had it been for other than this making which Allah has made, then person would not be known to as to which tribe he belongs. And that's why it is from the major sins that a person attributes his lineage to other than his father. Because the person, if he attributes his lineage to other than his father, he would change this natural creation upon which Allah has created mankind, that they are nations and tribes for the purpose of knowing one another. So it would be said that this man, this person, is the son of this person, the son of this person, to the upper grandfather, who is the father of the tribe, who is the father of the tribe. So to come to know one another, not to have this kind of pride and puffing regarding your lineage and ranks. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asserted by saying, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Verily the most honorable of you with Allah is that believer who has taqwa, who fears Allah. And this word taqwa, we explain it more and more inshallah to emphasize its meaning. So therefore here the honor is not that the person is from such and such tribe or this nation or that nation. The true honor, the true and beneficial honor, is the honor with Allah. Is the honor with Allah. And this can only be if the person has taqwa, piety, and righteousness. So the more a person is on taqwa, then the more he will be honored with Allah. So if you love to be honored with Allah, then you have to take by the taqwa. Taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal, fearing Allah the Most High by complying with His commands and abstaining from His prohibitions. And the taqwa, all of the taqwa is good, and all of it is barakah, blessing, and all of it is true happiness in this life and the hereafter. As Allah the Most High asserted in Surah Yunus chapter 10 verses 62-63, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. These are the awliya of Allah. These are the true awliya. No doubt, verily the awliya, the supporters and helpers of Allah, meaning those who believe in the oneness of Allah and fear Allah much, no fear shall come upon them or shall they grieve. And who are they? They are those who believe and used to fear Allah much by abstaining from evil deeds and sins and by doing righteous deeds. These are the awliya. These are the awliya. So many times we hear the term taqwa, and it shouldn't be just a word uttered on the tongue and passes by our ears, but rather this should be a great word, respected, revered. And the person will miss from this taqwa in as much as he opposes the command of Allah and His Messenger. So if you see a person coming to the masjid, to the mosque, and praying in congregation, and he is tranquil in his salah, performs it with calmness, and you compare that to another one who prays at his home and then the first one is atqa, is more righteous, more pious, then therefore he is akramu inda Allah. He is more honorable with Allah than the other one. Even if he is a slave from the slaves, and even if the other is from the most prestigious in terms of lineage. Because the al-atqa lillah, the one who fears Allah most, is the most honorable in the sight of Allah. In this life, we know that every person loves to have a certain rank with a person of authority in this life, and likes to be most nearer to him. Then how come we shouldn't love to be from the most dear to Allah and most honorable with him? The matter is, if you think about it, the matter, it comes down to lowly desires and shaitan and Satan. Otherwise it will be clear. So the person should work on himself in order to become from the pious and from the righteous, so that he attains the honor with Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. Verily Allah is all knowing, all aware regarding everything, because this is general and it's not restricted to any situation or condition. Allah is generalizing that he is all knowing, all aware. Khabir, all aware. And khibra, awareness, refers to knowledge regarding hidden matters, hidden affairs. It's meritorious, no doubt, to know the things of the apparent nature. This is fine, it's praiseworthy, but knowing the hidden things is more profound. So therefore here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all knowing regarding all that which is apparent, and all that which is hidden, he's aware of it. So if both are combined, knowledge and awareness, then this is more profound in terms of encompassment, full encompassment. And it also may be said that awareness has an additional meaning over knowledge, because the one who is acquainted and aware with people, he is the one who knows the thing with profession, and he is good at it. In contrast to the person who may have just mere knowledge about the thing, but he does not have profession regarding it. So he is not considered to be an aware or acquainted with the thing. So therefore, when you say someone is aware, then this encompasses a meaning additional to the meaning of mere knowledge. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in the next verse, قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. The Bedouins say, we believe. We believe. Say, you believe not, but you only say. You only say, we have surrendered in Islam, for faith has not yet entered your hearts. The Bedouins is a name, a plural of a Bedouin, and the one who resides in the Badia, away from residence. The Bedouins puffed up and said, Amanna, we believe. So they became proud regarding their belief, regarding faith. So Allah said, قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا, you believe not, وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا, but only say, we have surrendered in Islam, for faith has not yet entered your hearts. It is said that this refers to some who where some people that this refers to the hypocrites. This refers to the hypocrites. They were from the hypocrites, because Allah said, وَمِمَّنْ حَوْلَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ مُنَافِقُونَ, and from those around you, from the Bedouins, are hypocrites, in another verse. And the hypocrite, on the apparent, he is a Muslim. On the apparent, he is a Muslim. But he is not a believer, because he is exempted on the outward. He is exempted, excluded, in terms of the outward. Because the status of the hypocrites is like the Muslims, on the apparent. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ did not kill them, the hypocrites. Yet he knew of their hypocrisy. Why? Because although they apparently were Muslims, did not oppose on the apparent. And if they meet the believers, they say, "We believe." This is one saying, that this refers to the hypocrites. The second saying regarding these Bedouins is that they are Bedouins, but not hypocrites. But not hypocrites. However, they are weak in faith. Weak in faith. They walk with people, in general, in accordance with the apparent. Meaning they apply the apparent of the Sharia upon themselves, like others. But their hearts are weak, and their faith is weak. In accordance with the first saying, that they are from the hypocrites, then Allah's wording, وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ, for faith has not entered your hearts, would mean that it did not enter in origin. Meaning in origin, they were not believers. To begin with, they are not believers. This is if we say that the meaning is, this refers to the hypocrites, you understand? This would entail that the word of Allah here, for faith has not entered your hearts, meaning to begin with, in origin, you are not believers. You understand? Now, if we say that this refers to the other meaning, that they are not hypocrites, but weak in faith, then the verse would mean, for faith has not entered your heart, would mean it did not enter the to be a perfect faith. So they have faith, but did not reach the perfection. You understand? You understand? Weak in faith. No. And we know, as we discussed many times, that the ruling and the foundation, there is an important foundation in tafsir, that if a verse tolerates two meanings, then the verse will be carried on both meanings, if they don't oppose each other. If the meanings, on the other hand, oppose each other, then we seek preponderance. Which one of them does have more weight to it? You understand this foundation? We talked about this foundation when we discussed the principles of tafsir, and also before in many times. This foundation is that if a verse tolerates two meanings, then the verse meaning will accommodate both, as long as they don't oppose each other. As long as there is no opposition. If there is opposition, then we seek preponderance. We look for preponderance. Which one of them is more preponderant? You understand? Now, this is a great foundation with regard to tafsir. So, in general, mostly, the Bedouins don't know the limit as to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. So they say, "We believe." So they say, we believe. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, addressing his prophet, قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا, say, you did not believe. You believe not. وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا, but say, you have surrendered. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ, faith has not entered your hearts. That is because the faith in the heart is difficult. And the Islam, this is a sign on the body parts, on the apparent. And every person may act by the acts, by the body parts. In fact, in a way that is perfect. On the outward, he may be very perfect in terms of his actions. And we know this. We know this from the Sunnah. Because the Prophet ﷺ informed us about a group, a sect that will emerge, a deviant sect, that they will recite the Quran, and that they will pray, and that the one of the companions, when these people emerge, will see his salah compared to their salah as if nothing. He will belittle his salah compared to the salah, the prayers of the members of this deviant group known as the Khawarij, the dissidents, and that the companion will also belittle his recitation of the Quran when he compares it to their recitation. Yet despite this perfect kind of worship on the outward, the Prophet ﷺ stated in Sahih al-Bukhari, Volume 9, Book 93, Hadith 527, إِنَّهُمْ يَقْرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنَ لَا يُجَاوِزُ حَنَاجِرَهُمْ. There will be people who will recite the Quran, but it will not go beyond their throats. And they will go out of Islam as an arrow goes out through the game. We seek refuge in Allah from this. This indicates what? That Islam, every person could perform the actions of Islam. Every person could do this, is capable of perfecting it in terms of salah, in terms of sujood, in terms of recitation, in terms of fasting, in terms of giving charity, yet his heart is empty of faith. You understand? We seek refuge in Allah from this. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this verse, قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا, you believe not, وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا, but say you have surrendered in Islam. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ, for faith has not entered your hearts. What this لَمَّا, the scholars said that this لَمَّا, this article, when it comes, this indicates the closeness of an occurrence. Closeness of an occurrence. So if you say, Fulan such and such, Lamma yadkhulaha, he did not enter it. Lamma, here it means he is close from entering this place or this state or etc. Just like the saying of Allah in Surah Sad, chapter 38, verse 8. بَلْ هُمْ فِي شَكٍّ مِّن ذِكْرِي, بَلْ, listen, لَمَّا يَذُوقُ عَذَبٍ. Has the reminder been sent down to him alone from among us? Nay, but they are in doubt about my reminder, this Quran. Nay, but they have not tasted my torment. Meaning yet, lamma, but it is close. You understand? This is the meaning of it here. It's close. Okay. And in this verse, lamma yadkhul al-imanu fi qulubikum, meaning the faith did not enter your hearts, but it is close to enter. You understand? It is close to enter. Now, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِن تُطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَا يَلِتْكُم مِّنْ أَعْمَالِكُمْ شَيْئًا. But if you obey Allah and His Messenger, He will not decrease anything in reward for your deeds. Verily Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Meaning if you obey Allah and the Messenger by doing that which He commands you and abstaining from that which He forbids you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not decrease anything in reward for you, but rather, yes, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which means may Allah mention him, praise him in the most high place before the angels, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and wasallam, meaning to render him safe from every derogatory thing and or defect, and also render his message safe. This is the meaning of sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You understand? And this is not only for the person who asked this question. It is important to know what it means, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You understand what it means? It is an invocation. It is an invocation to bestow these merits upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Okay. So Allah therefore will not decrease anything in reward for your deeds, but rather will save them for you complete, as Allah stated in Surah Al-An'am chapter 6 verse 160, من جاء بالحسنة فله عشر أمثالها ومن جاء بالسيئة فلا يجزى إلا مثلها وهم لا يظلمون. Whoever brings a good deed shall have 10 times the like thereof to his credit, and whoever brings an evil deed shall have only the recompense of the like thereof, and they will not be wronged. So every person will be recompensed in accordance with his actions. Good, then it is good. Bad, evil it is, then he will have the like thereof. However, Allah's mercy preceded his anger, as came in the authentic hadith. Rahmatullah, rahmati sabaqat ghadabi, my mercy precedes my anger. So this is also in accordance with Surah Al-Zalzala chapter 99 verses 7 to 8, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. So whoever does good equal to the weight of a small ant shall see it, and whoever does evil equal to the weight of a small ant shall see it. So he may be punished, he may be pardoned and forgiven. So the bad deeds can be wiped off, removed, and the good deeds cannot be diminished. And that's why Allah said in this verse, لَا يَلِتْكُم مِّنْ أَعْمَالِكُمْ شَيْئًا. Allah will not decrease anything in reward from your deeds. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Verily Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. So Allah ended this verse with mercy and forgiveness, indicating that those who said that they believe, meaning the Bedouins, are close to forgiveness and mercy. Meaning, faith did not enter their hearts, but it is close to enter it. In this verse, there is a very important benefit. There is a distinction between Islam and Iman. Islam and Iman and faith. Similarly, this came clear in the hadith, in the famous hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam. There was, in the famous hadith of Jibreel, distinction between Islam and Iman, between Islam and faith. In the hadith of Jibreel, when he, Jibreel, asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to define Islam, what is Islam, he said, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, in response, أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله, that you testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, وأن تقيم الصلاة, and to establish the prayers, وتؤتي الزكاة, and give the annual due charity, وتصوم رمضان, and you fast the month of Ramadan, وتحج البيت, and you perform the pilgrimage to the house if you are able to do so. This is the answer of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام to Jibreel. Now, concerning when he asked him about al-Iman, faith, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام answered by saying, أن تؤمن بالله, that you believe in Allah, وملائكته, his angels, وكتبه, his books, which Allah revealed to his respective messengers, ورسله, his messengers, واليوم الآخر, and the last day, والقدر خيره وشره, and to believe in the divine pre-decree, both the good and the evil thereof. So therefore there was a distinction in these answers, as it is in this verse, between Islam and between Iman. And also there are other evidences in which textual proofs where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the Iman Islam, that the Iman is Islam and Islam is Iman. Is there contradiction therefore? The answer is absolutely not. So how then this is to be considered, how this is understood? Listen now to the answer. When Islam and Iman come together in this statement, then they are two things. And if Islam is mentioned alone, or if Iman, faith, is mentioned alone, then they have the same meaning. And in this there are many examples in the Arabic language. And that's why the people of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they are on the creed that if Islam and Iman are combined in the same statement, if they are mentioned together in the same context, then there are two things. And if one of them is mentioned without the other, then each one of them is the same as the other. The proof for this is indicated in the fact that the Prophet ﷺ considered some actions which are from Islam, he considers them from Iman. Take for example, when he said, الإيمان بضع وسبعون شعبة, faith is some 70 plus branches. Listen, أعلاها, the highest of it is لا إله إلا الله, the testimony of لا إله إلا الله. Yet it is from Islam, isn't it? You see in the beginning, in the definition, yet لا إله إلا الله is what? Is from Islam, isn't it? Isn't it? In this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Iman, faith, is 70 and more branches. The highest is لا إله إلا الله. There is no true God worthy of worship except Allah. Yet this is what? A testimony of what? I'm asking you. A testimony of Islam. Why in the answer to Jibreel he said, Al-Islam is to testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, isn't it? Right? Now, then he said in the same hadith, so Al-Iman, faith, is some 70 plus branches. The highest is La ilaha illallah, and this, listen what he said at the end, Wa adnaha, and the lowest is, and the least is, إِمَاطَةُ الْأَذَى عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ. The least is removing a harmful object off the road. Now, removing a harmful object from the road is from Islam, isn't it? Why? Because it's action. Action of what? Of body parts, right? 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 You clear? And then he said, وَالْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةٌ مِّنَ الْإِيمَانِ. And al-haya, bashfulness, is a branch of faith. And bashfulness, where is bashfulness? On the body parts or on the heart? Or in the heart? Where? In the heart. You understand? You understand now? So therefore, what is important here is, if Iman and Islam are mentioned separately, then they have one meaning. And if they are combined, then they have two meanings. Then there are two things. You understand? So there will be, if Iman is mentioned alone, then if one is mentioned other than the other, then it is the same meaning as the other. Then Allah stated in this verse, إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا. إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا. Only those are the believers who have believed in Allah and His Messenger, and afterward doubt not, but strive with their wealth and their lives for the cause of Allah. Those are the truthful ones. إنما, this is restriction, an article of restriction, only, and therefore it indicates affirming the ruling that is mentioned and negating it for other than that, that is not mentioned. Meaning, there is, the only believers are these, are those who believe, which means, this means that they are the true believers whose Iman is perfect. Now, they believed, attested, an attestation entailing acceptance and submission. Not just mere attestation, that is not sufficient. Rather, it's inevitable to have acceptance and submission. The evidence that mere attestation is not sufficient is what the Prophet ﷺ informed concerning his uncle Abu Talib, that his uncle Abu Talib is in hellfire, despite that his uncle believed the Messenger Muhammad ﷺ. Attested to him, and he says in his famous poem, لَقَدْ عَلِمُوا أَنَّ ابْنَنَا لَا مُكَذِّبُ. They knew that our son is not a liar. لَدَيْنَا, with us. وَلَا يُعْنَى بِقَوْلِ الْأَبَاطِلِ. And he, meaning Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, is not concerned by the saying falsehoods. And he said concerning the deen, the religion of Al-Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a poem, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ خَيْرُ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينًا. And I came to know that the religion of Muhammad is the best of religions for creation, amongst the creatures, yani that they have. However, and we seek refuge in Allah, he did not accept the religion. You see that? He attested to it, as you have heard. But he did not accept the religion. And he did not submit. And the last thing he said was, إِنَّهُ عَلَى الشِّرْكِ عَلَى مِلَّةِ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ, that he is on shirk, ascribing partners to Allah in worship, on the way of Abd al-Muttalib. So he died on the religion of his forefathers. So, and that's why he is in hellfire, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asserted in an authentic narration. So therefore, those who believe in Allah and His Messenger, the true believers, are the ones who attest a perfect attestation, complete, as to what Allah deserves and to what His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam deserves. And they accept that and they submit. Then Allah says, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُ, and afterward doubt not. This, you see the order? Then they became firm, settled on faith, despite the duration, length of time. Then, no doubt, afterward, they didn't have any kind of doubt afterward regarding Allah and regarding His Messenger. And here we caution regarding an issue which many people ask about during these times, although its origin occurred at the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is the waswas, whispers, which the shaitan throws in the heart of man. Okay, let's resume then. Here, a point of caution. Many ask about it in our times. Although its origin existed during the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is regarding al-waswas, whispers, which the shaitan throws in the heart of the person. It throws in the heart of the person sometimes whispers and doubts concerning faith, or concerning the Quran, or concerning the Messenger, such that the person prefers that his flesh is torn apart and his bones crumble, but not utter a word about that. So what is the position of the person regarding this? The position is to seek refuge in Allah from the accursed shaitan, and cease and turn away from this and not think about it. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam informed us that this kind of waswas is evidence for faith, meaning sincere faith. And it is sincere faith because shaitan does not come to the person who has doubts already, to make him doubt concerning his religion. You understand that? He does not come to a person who already has doubts in his religion. Rather, he comes to a person who is firm in faith and settled on faith, to make him doubt and thus corrupt the religion for him. You see the difference between the two. The believer who is settled on faith in his heart and tranquil in his heart, he is the one to whom shaitan will come in order to corrupt upon him his faith. And however, the one who is not a believer, who is not a believer and who is doubtful to begin with, then shaitan will not bring him these waswas, these whispers. Why? Because he is already finished with him. He is already what? Finished with him. You understand? You understand? He is already finished with him. He's gone. He's gone. He's finished. So, what is important is the saying here, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا, and afterward they don't doubt. This is an indication that they are firm on faith, even though this could extend for a long time, they are still firm on it. So if someone says, what is the way which will entail firmness and steadiness and settlement of faith? There are four ways. Four ways. The first one is to think and contemplate in the creation of Allah, in these magnificent creatures and creation, which did not come accidentally, which did not come accidentally, and which did not bring themselves into existence, which did not bring themselves into existence. Second, the person should contemplate the Sharia and its perfection, the Sharia of Allah and its perfection. Third, the person should contemplate the seerah, the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and his signs and the like. We need to read the seerah, the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. In that there is a great help and support for the firmness of iman and of its settlement. Fourth, the person should make abundant remembrance of Allah, because with the remembrance of Allah the hearts become tranquil, and the person should increase the acts of obedience and righteous deeds, because these acts of righteousness increases faith, as it is decreed of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse said, وَجَاهِدُوا بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. This is conjugated with the term آمِنُوا, believe. آمَنُوا, those who believe. Conjugated construct. Meaning, in addition to their faith and their certainty and having no doubt, they want also to correct and reform the creation of Allah by jihad in His cause. They make jihad against the enemies of Allah to return them to the deen of Allah and to become upright on it, not for the sake of avenging, nor for the sake of self-victory, but for people to enter the deen of Allah. And the jihad in the cause of Allah is the fighting to have the word of Allah the prevalent one, not for avenge. And the fighting for avenge is no more than defense or avenging one's avenging for oneself only. However, the true jihad is to fight to have the word of Allah prevailing. But the jihad for giving victory for oneself or warding or defending oneself alone, listen, is not in the cause of Allah. That, but there is no doubt that the one who fights defending himself, if he is killed, then he is a martyr. And the one who kills him is in hell. As in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, concerning the one who intends to take the property of someone else, he said, don't give him. He said, O Messenger of Allah, what about if he fights me for that? The Prophet ﷺ said, fight him. He said, what about if he kills me? The Prophet ﷺ said, then you are a martyr. Then he said, what about if I kill him? He said, then he is in hell. So, the jihad in the cause of Allah is the fighting to have the word of Allah prevailing. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ had determined and clarified decisively. So, those who are qualified with these attributes, Allah said about them, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Those, they are the truthful ones in their faith, in them having no doubt after faith. And as to the Bedouins, who said we have faith, but they didn't truly believe, but rather they surrendered in Islam, then they are not truthful. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا, say, you did not believe, وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا, but rather say, we have surrendered in Islam. One thing to add here concerning the jihad for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it is for the betterment of mankind. When there is a need for that, when obstinates block Islam from reaching people, to deliver them from the darkness of shirk to the light of Islam, then Allah decreed that these obstinates be fought so that Islam prevails. And the Islam prevailing is for the benefit of mankind, because Islam is the thing, is the way that takes people from hellfire into paradise. And the Muslims will be the ones who will be wounded and be killed for the sake of others, to allow them, to expose them to Islam. This brings the end of the discussion on these three verses. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.